I think it's fair to say that most of us don't like things we don't fully understand. Almost by default, we're uncomfortable with things that are mysterious, that are hard to get our minds around. But if you're a Christian and you take the Bible seriously, you're eventually going to come up against exactly that. To mention just a few examples, how can God be one God in three persons? How is it that Jesus is both fully God and fully man? How can the Bible be written by many different human authors and yet ultimately still be God's own word? And how can you and I be responsible for our actions when God is completely in control over everything? And we could go on. But I actually think that the same Bible that brings these tensions to our notice also gives us some help to approach them in the right way. And one way that it does that is through the fascinating story we find in the book of Job. We can't get into all the important details, but to summarize briefly, Job is a genuinely upright man, and he becomes the focal point in a discussion between God and Satan. And rather amazingly, this results in God giving Satan permission to inflict Job with terrible suffering, including the loss of his many possessions, the loss of his children, and even the loss of his health. It's safe to say that Job experiences agony that we can scarcely even imagine. But even through all this, Job doesn't curse God as Satan said he would. But Job is understandably bewildered by what's happened to him. And to make matters worse, his friends are convinced he's done something to deserve his suffering. And so in his frustration and his misery, Job eventually questions whether God has dealt rightly with him. And he demands to take up his case with the Almighty himself. To which the Lord actually responds. Chapter 38 tells us that he answered Job out of the whirlwind. And it's extremely important to consider how he does it. He doesn't refute Job's accusations or answer Job's questions, at least not directly. Instead, he starts asking Job several questions of his own, including, were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, Job? Did you fix the boundaries of the sea? Do you command the morning? Can you make the lightning report to you? Who has given understanding to the mind? Surely, Job, you know all these things. You were there, right? Well, God ends this initial questioning by asking, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. And Job's reply is basically to lay his hand on his mouth in silence. But God isn't done. Dress for action like a man, he says. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Will you put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? He then launches into another round of questions that Job once more finds overwhelming. And so Job's final reply is again one of humility. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now it's important to realize that God's message in all of this is not, I'll do whatever I want, regardless of whether it's just or unjust. Instead, and this is crucial, is to say that if Job can't understand or accomplish these things that God mentions, then doesn't it stand to reason that God is capable of other things that are beyond him, including having an appropriate reason for his suffering, one that doesn't make God unjust? In other words, Job shouldn't expect to understand all of God's ways because he's not God. He's Job, a finite mortal man. And judging from Job's replies, this is something that he comes to grasp very well. And so here's the point for us. If God really is God, if he really is the Lord of all creation, the one who not only made all of it, including us, but governs all of it according to his good plan, if he's that big, if he has that kind of incalculable power and wisdom, then shouldn't we also expect to find situations where we can't connect all the dots, at least from where we're standing right now? Given who God is, isn't that a rational expectation? So the question is, how big is your God? Because at the end of the day, a God that you and I can completely figure out, a God that presents us with no mystery, isn't really much of a God at all.